This is a replay of the Wednesday night, March 22nd WGN show. We started at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings, and unless sports preempt us, that's from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from OneVoip. For the world's best customer service, it's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. We have 3 hours to spend tonight if I make it that long. No, I intend to thoroughly. I'd appreciate your participation, but I'm not sure I'm going to get it. Now, why I say that, and we'll get to the fact that the studio is, in fact, haunted. I'm almost thoroughly convinced. But it was one of these days all the way around today, and I didn't buy dinner. I rented it for about 20 minutes before I lost it in every conceivable direction. So it's been a fine little time until John came in and said, "You know, we don't have any phones." I said, "Huh?" And I called from within our system, and sure enough, I got it to ring no problem, but that's internal of sorts. So he tried a couple cell phones, and nada. I don't have an outside landline or VoIP phone that's not part of the same system to test. So my first plea to you is, could you call the show? This is, by the way, not a plea for calls, because I want to talk to you, though I do. It's actually a public service a Raleigh service anyway. It'll help me. Dial 888-876-5593. That's 888-876-5593. And if you don't get through, if you can send me an email at raleigh@raleigh.net and tell me what you do get, I'll appreciate it. And then what I'll do during the next commercial respite is I will reboot the phones entirely. But what I really want to know is anybody getting through in any direction? Of course, this is a leap of faith, because if you're not willing to call, well, I'm not going to know. But apparently a couple of people are and getting through. So that part's good news. All right. Now, with that in mind, like I say, I don't take this lightly. I guess my first indication that we had a problem was when I walked into the bathroom about 3 a.m. and noticed, away from everything else in the bathroom, on the little bath mat by itself, was a blood pressure pill that John was supposed to have taken a few hours earlier. He was sleeping by then. So I, of course, frantically think, oh my God, he must have dropped it or whatever. So I wake him up and, you know, shove it down his throat and all that. And later, so I didn't drop one. Yeah, well, two can't hurt, I guess. In any event, I thought that was just a one-off thing. Like maybe it was just on his clothes and dropped there. Anything can happen. Well, I finally realized today, after I found a Tylenol on the bath mat. And by the way, no one here takes Tylenol. I don't know where it came from. But by itself, totally by itself, and I had to pick it up and read it to even know what it was, that those weren't the only two incidences. This has happened now, I'd say, half a dozen times since we've been here at the beginning of March. All I can figure is the place is haunted. Now, you might say, so call Marianne. Well, I did, only she wasn't in, and I haven't heard back from her yet. I hope to soon, because this could be a very interesting show. Maybe she can clear the ghost live on the air. So, but I'm pretty sure we got one, and I'm a little surprised, because, of course, I carry a Quincy and all that, but that's on me, not necessarily protecting all other sources. But it looks like everybody can call. Thank God. and I don't know why John couldn't, but all right, so that averted. Now, the pill matter, I don't know. I do think it's a haunting, so hopefully we'll get Marianne on soon to talk about that. Well, a number of things on my mind, as usual, but let's see what's on yours. And firstly, thank you for calling. Let's see if you got anything else to say. Doo-wop Debbie is in Milwaukee. Thank you for calling, Debbie. Are you there, Debbie? No. Maybe Debbie was just calling to be kind, and I appreciate that greatly. So, all right. Thank you for that, Debbie. And I'm going to have John check everybody else because, of course, as I say, it wasn't a cry for your participation. Though I like it when you do. It was actually wanting to know if you got through, and you did. So the phones appear to be working, and that is, in fact, good news. All right. Speaking of phones, interesting article I read about breaking up with your phone. Apparently a woman wrote a book about this, a 30-day plan to take your life back by breaking up with your cellular phone. And one of the quick hints was put a rubber band around your phone so every time you pick it up, you're reminded to ask yourself if there's a better use of your time at that moment. Well, I'm sure there are a number of things that might work, and the mission of the author of this book was not to stop using phones or even social media, but to not automatically turn the phone into a compulsive action that robs you of everything else. And I do notice that. Now, I'm not a phone person, but I can't speak with any superiority because I lug the whole laptop around. That's right, with the access point, and I admit I'm on the laptop incessantly, so I can't really cast aspersions at people who are on phones incessantly. But it does occur to me that as much time as it probably saves. Boy, it saved me today because one of my stations was off the air and I was able to, you know, reboot the whole thing from a distance online. And that was nice. But and that's a good use of the Internet. But apart from that, I see that of all the things it does to save me time, it is a colossal time waster. I think to myself, what was my life like before I had the World Wide Web? And I can barely remember as far as that goes, but I'd say from the time I get up till the time I go to sleep, usually that laptop is in close proximity. So if you too have found that, and if you've found a way around it, if you've managed to divorce the phone or the laptop for a while, curious how that went as well. So 888-876-5593 is 8888. Raleigh, of course, there's always radio. And that reminds me of the Sea Crane Company. Bob Crane is truly a kindred spirit. When he noticed many years ago that reception on current radios was just deplorable, he vowed he'd build radios that had great reception, and boy, did he live up to that promise. Not only terrific AM and FM reception, but features you don't find anywhere else. The CC Skywave is a good example. One of the best ways to be prepared for those occasional extreme weather outages, but also a great travel radio. For one thing, it sounds an alarm when NOAA weather issues an alert, so you'll always know if there's impending weather or things like that nature, and you can listen to the NOAA band as well and hear what's going on. But in addition, it's got shortwave and the aviation band. So if you like to travel and you want to hear what air traffic controllers are saying, well, here's your chance. It's really neat. And sometimes it's first responders who are using shortwave as well in an emergency. So it's a window on a world you don't normally see. But primarily, it's great AM and great FM. And it runs up to 70 hours on a couple of AA batteries. You can find out more at ccradio.com anytime, ccradio.com. You can order as well. Yeah, you can get it at REI or Bi-Mart or Amazon. But for the real deal experience and great information as well as great products at ccradio.com. Or you can call them by phone 24 hours a day. They're there to answer all your questions, help you any way you need, and yes, they'll take an order. 800-522-8863. 800-522-TUNE. It's the CC Skywave from the Sea Crane Company. You tell them Raleigh sent you on WGN Radio.
Banana split for my baby. A glass of plain water for me. Banana split for my baby. A glass of plain water for me. Dispenser man, if you please, serve my chick a mess of calories. Banana split for my baby, a glass of plain water for me. flip back the lid, scoop anything in sight. Make it a rainbow of red, brown, and white. Chocolate chip and everything that's nice. Tutti frutti once and spumoni twice. Banana split for my baby, and a glass of plain water for me. Spray the whipped cream for at least an hour. Pile it as high as the Eiffel Tower. Loaded with nuts, about 16 ton. Top it with a pizza, just for fun. Banana split for my baby, and a glass of plain water for me. Banana split for my baby.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. And yes, that's Louis Prima. And Johnny D requested that, I think, months ago, actually. And that actually came out at 45 in 1956 on Capitol. It was a flip side. Yes, Banana Split for My Baby. The A side was 5 months, 2 weeks, 2 days. So there you have. Top it with a pizza. What are these people thinking? 888-876-5593 is 8888. Raleigh. And yes, thanks for calling. And I said, now I've got a full board of calls. Do these people actually want to talk to me, or are they just kind enough to tell me the phones work? Well, we'll find out with John in Covington. What's going on tonight, John?
Hi, Roy. I'm just trying to help. You asked for help, so I'm trying to help
you. Well, thank
you. I got to tell you this, now that I got you on the phone. The first time I ever heard your voice, you were guest hosting or what have you on a weekend for Coast to Coast, and this crazy guy, and he was kind of notorious for calling Coast to Coast, but he was like nuts, and it was HC or BZ.
Right. That was
that was the
second time. That's when I was doing the Sunday night thing after the show had greatly deteriorated. When I did it in 1999 and 2000, when Art Bell was still around, it was a great show to do. But by 2007, it was a disaster. But yes, I remember it, and I don't know if JC or whatever it was. Yeah, I think that is online actually. That clip.
Oh, it probably is. Yeah, if you look hard enough. Anyway, yeah, he said you answered, and he said you get back in that kitchen, woman.
Yeah,
and you laughed like really hard, and so the other thing I wanted to tell you is, or actually, it's a riddle. It's like, why do radio personalities make good pool players?
Why?
Because they're always against a hard break.
All right. Well, there you go.
I'll leave you with that, Raleigh.
All right,
thanks a lot.
Appreciate it. Yeah, I remember that call well, because no one who actually knows me would ask me to be anywhere near a kitchen, certainly not any fire department in America. But Karen in Chicago, welcome to WGN Radio.
Hi, I'm Raleigh. How are you?
All right. What's going on, Karen?
Well, you know, we were talking about people who have glued to their phones, and, you know, I never got into that. And part of the reason is that when I take notes or I want to keep track of something, I write it. I have to write it down to retain it. So I'm old school, and I have everything in Braille. And plus the fact that if I want to take notes on my phone, I'm just not good at it, and for me it's awkward. So what I do is carry around a little digital recorder, and if I have to remember something, I'll record it, then when I get home I immediately write it down in Braille.
Works for me.
I don't know what it is. I was looking for a note taker, because when I went to the hospital, somebody tried to help me hook up to the guest Wi-Fi and screwed the whole thing up, and it never did work.
Oh, geez.
So I was looking around for, gee, isn't there, in all of this crazy technological world, isn't there a little note taker that I could carry in my purse and take notes that would actually come out in Braille?
Yeah.
No, there isn't. I do appreciate, you know, the spoken word, whatever, but if I'm going to retain it, it just doesn't work.
No, I understand that thoroughly. And of course, there's a lot of note takers that will be happy to transcribe them into text. But when you're getting into Braille, what I fear is increasingly it's a lost art. You're seeing young people not even learning. I'm talking young people who are blind, not even learning it. And I just find this just a horrible trend.
I think that's pitiful.
Yeah.
And I think, why in the world do you want to be illiterate? I'm sorry. And even though we have talking books and we have talking whatever, I get magazines and Braille.
Sure.
And I have Braille books just because I want to keep up my Braille skills. All of my notes are in Braille. I have files all over the house. I just don't get it. And when I worked for the Chicago Department of Health, and I had to literally make my own directories. They didn't have a way of doing it. And you know that having to have all of those numbers, when I memorize things, if I want to remember your number, I'll picture it in my mind in Braille, and then I'm fine.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just crazy. It's something a habit I formed, I guess, to memorize.
It works, and what's odd to me is I would think that no matter who it is, they would want everything available to them to make life more adaptive. And the idea of saying, well, I don't need to learn Braille, that's the height of laziness, and ultimately it's, I admit, by the way, I was kind of learning Braille because it was on so many of my records from, you know, radio stations where I worked with blind people, but I lost it with contractions. Like, contractions?
Yeah.
No. Just no. So, but
you know what I think is terrible is they have made changes now in this UEB Braille, and I hate that.
Yes.
It used to be, the whole idea was, why don't we contract Braille so it won't take up so much space? Now, this new Braille takes up more space than anything. And it's awkward, all the accent marks and even the quotations they've changed, parentheses, and some of them are two cells, and it's just awkward to read.
Well, yeah, and of course, you know, you get used to what you're used to, and you never want to see a change.
Well, yeah, I grew up with
right. Sure. But the idea of kids opting for nothing, I think is
going to be horrible.
Yeah, I agree. You know, it's just like in schools now for sighted kids, they're no longer teaching cursive in many schools. And I find that to be absolutely crazy. You know, kids who can't, how do they sign their names if they don't know cursive?
Yeah, you know, I'm wondering about that too. And a few years ago on the news, there was one of those side stories about a teacher who assigned her students, now, I know you, and they're all using computers, and she said, I'm going to give you a phrase. I want every one of you to write it on a piece of paper with a pen, and I want you to write it and turn it in. And she, I guess, got into a whole lot of trouble with the parents, and everybody was complaining about her. But, boy, I thought she had a point.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And, by the way, keep listening, because Debbie in Raleigh knows about a Braille note taker, so we'll find out together.
God bless her. How wonderful.
Okay.
And if you get a chance, could you please play some Manhattan?
Absolutely. I'll do it next.
Oh,
all right,
thank you so much.
Appreciate it.
Stay well.
All right,
and
you
tell
too.
John, stay well, too.
Absolutely. Thanks. All right, so 888-876-5593. We'll find out about that Braille note taker in moments here on WGN Radio.
Call an editor, I've something to say. Call a preacher, I guess I wanna pray. Call an actor, I wanna play the part. Call up a doctor, 'cause you broke my heart.
I'm Raleigh James, and yeah, those are the Manhattans when they were on Carnival. Best stuff ever. 1969, it was the flip side. The A side was Till You Come Back to Me, which Carnival label owner Joe Evans wrote. Call Somebody Please was on the B side, and Blue Lovett wrote it, and a fine song it was. One of my faves also. So glad every time Karen requests the Manhattans, you don't have to twist my arm to play them. Just love them. All right, so Debbie is in Raleigh, and she knows of a Braille note taker. So tell all Debbie.
Okay, it isn't a Braille note taker, but it's one that you can carry around with you, and it's called Victor Reader Stream, and it's made by HumanWare.
But will it convert what you're saying to Braille?
Well, no. It
and that's
it
what she wants.
That's what she wants. Well,
that is what she wants.
I'm sorry, but what this does is you can take notes verbally, like you could hold a button in. And I guess it's similar to the, digital recorder.
Right.
But what I like about this, though, is you can listen to podcasts on it. You can listen to internet radio. In fact, sometimes that's how I listen to your show instead of through the smart speaker, but you can listen to podcasts,
you can do all that, and that's fine, but that's not what she's after.
I got you. Okay, I'm sorry I missed that part, but maybe that'll help somebody else.
I just looked this up. Apparently there are Braille note takers. Now, a basic note taker without Braille, but you'll add Braille to it, is already $3,000. So,
that's what I was going to say. The price would be extreme.
Right. Right.
That's one reason I don't have one, but.
You add Braille to it, it's
handy,
twice the price.
You know?
Yeah, it'd be about $6,000 if you're adding Braille. So,
a lot of that junk is so high I can't afford it.
Right.
This device is good for me because I can, make. Notes about a doctor's appointment, or in fact, I recorded a meeting for over 2 hours on it by holding in the button on it.
Sure,
and it's compact. It's maybe 8 inches by 4 inches or so.
No, that's fine. And there's a lot of them out there, by the way. So people can pick the one that. You can find the one that suits your need as much.
Oh.
But
I hate it wasn't much help, I guess. But
it's interesting anyway. And I'm looking at it, and like I say, there are Braille Note Touch Plus and all this. But the Plus part is what's going to set you back to buy one.
I would think they would be so big they wouldn't be worth it, but maybe I'm wrong.
No, they're not. Yeah. Some of them are not that big. They are certainly big in the pocket.
I haven't been to a tech fair in quite a while.
Yeah.
Probably years, but maybe there's more out there than I know about, obviously.
Well,
we can always learn.
Right, but when you get to get to the price point there, it doesn't help too many people. But you can get this wonderful Braille Note Touch Plus 32 for only $57.95. Now the Braille Note Touch Plus 18, it's only $47.95. So yes, the machine she wants, I found them. Nobody can afford them, but we found them. All right, Debbie. Thank you as always. Good to hear from you.
Okay,
thanks.
All right, you take care.
All right, appreciate it.
Love your show.
So, thanks.
Bye-bye.
Yeah. See, the problem is that price points come down when enough of the units are sold, and there's just not going to be that much of a call for this. Certainly not. Not in the tens of thousands. So I guess the Braille Note Touch Plus 32 is still going to be basically $5,800 plus tax. So 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. And Leah is in Marcus Hook. What's happening tonight, Leah?
Hi, Raleigh. How are you?
Oh, just terrible. How about yourself?
I'm okay.
Good.
I was going to say, around here at the hospitals, at Riddle Hospital, they have Braille in the elevators.
Yes, well, they should.
Yeah, they have. Well, they have Braille everywhere. They have signs. They have Braille,
and they should absolutely.
Yeah.
But what's frightening is how many young people today who are blind can't read it.
Oh, that's.
Yeah,
I would think they would have to.
Well, no.
They?
Well, there's so many other assistive devices that'll let you get around it that they're just not learning it, and I think that's a mistake.
I guess. Well, you know, Albert can't write anymore, so he has to use, like, recorded things to help him. Because of his shakiness, he can't write.
Yeah, which is a shame. But I understand.
Yeah, I know.
He's not alone.
They help him at work.
Yeah.
They do the computer things for him at work when he needs to. But, we're going tomorrow to look at TVs. Our TV blew out.
Oh, no. So what are you going to look at?
Well, we had a 55-inch, and we're getting a 75-inch.
Well, you'll see it from across the street, actually.
Well, we're going to upgrade,
Yeah.
It's going in the bedroom. Yeah. That's our bedroom TV.
Well, don't get a smart one.
Oh, yeah, we're getting a smart one.
Well,
why?
They'll listen to everything you say.
Yeah, I want them to.
Oh, you do? All right, well, in the bedroom.
I want the smart TV to listen to me.
All right, well, it will.
Your every move,
that's right. Everything you do, it will know.
I want them to stream. I want to stream channels.
Yes,
you know,
well,
the
that's
Paramount and all that.
That's very easy. But as I say, no matter what you're saying, it will note it.
You mean someone will be listening in?
That's absolutely not someone, but the device will be listening to your every word. Because how is it going to know when you're talking to it unless it hears everything?
Well, we have a smart TV now, and
yes,
it doesn't.
Of course, it does.
Hear us?
Of course, it does.
Well, it doesn't stream.
Well, whether it streams or it doesn't, I'm not saying it has that capability. But you see, any device, any smart device that is voice activated has to actually hear your voice for it to work. So people say, well, it won't do anything till I say Alexa or Siri or whatever. Well, how the hell do you think it's going to hear Alexa or Siri or whatever? It hears every word.
Oh, I know. No, I don't want one with Wi-Fi.
Well, good luck. When you want to see those streaming channels, you're going to have Wi-Fi.
Oh, geez.
I thought
I could get a Roku.
Well, right, but the Roku has to be connected to Wi-Fi, or for that matter, it could be wired, though there aren't that many wired devices anymore, but it's probably going to be wireless. What do you think, Roku's magic?
Yes.
No, Roku is not magic. It works on Wi-Fi.
I don't know how any of these things work.
I can tell.
I thought streaming was magic.
Uh-huh. Well, if you find a way to do streaming without a broadband connection, I want to hear every word.
I don't know how anything works, and I just think everything is magic.
Even
my phone, when I'm on the internet, I'm like, I'm on the internet. This is magic.
Uh-huh. Scary stuff.
And I don't know what I did before. I don't know. I think I just read books.
What a concept.
I know. Why?
Yeah.
I can't read anymore because I'm on this antidepressant that makes me not able to read. And they even said that's a side effect.
That's an interesting feature. I'm not sure I'd want to take that particular drug, but okay.
I know.
Yes.
It's a side effect of a lot of antidepressants.
Causes nausea, causes illiteracy. See, I haven't heard that part on any of the disclaimers. All right.
So you can read, you just don't want to. It doesn't hold your attention.
I see. That's right. Gives you the attention of a gnat. That's just great.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah.
That's right.
And may increase suicidal thoughts, but other than that, it's a terrific drug. But
other than that, no.
Yeah. All righty then.
So funny.
But yes, Roku will require some form of an internet connection.
Oh, okay. It's not just abracadabra.
No, I wish. That would solve so many problems. No.
Well,
it's
the
not.
Thing I'm worried about with the TV, though, is I like the old movie channel.
Fine.
Classic movie.
Very well.
And, you know, with the new TVs, they have the HD TV.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes the old movie channel look like it was shot on video camera.
Okay.
Well, you're not a movie person, so you don't know this.
Right. No, I wouldn't care. I mean, 525 scan lines or 520 or 500, however many were actually used, was fine with me. I don't know.
But it looks terrible.
Oh, I'm sure.
John, he would know.
Well,
he would know, right?
NTSC looked terrible for dozens of years here. I thought it stood for never twice same color, but it was our system.
Oh, I don't know what that is.
I can tell. Yes. Well, there were three color systems worldwide. There was NTSC, like I say, never twice same color. There was PAL, and there were a couple versions of PAL, by the way. And then there was CCAM. CCAM actually was French, and it was also used in a couple South American countries. It was probably the best, but it was not widely used. PAL would probably be my choice, either one of them. But then NTSC was just embarrassing. And that was American, you know, America scanned supposedly 525 lines, although they didn't really. They scanned about 500. And the other 25 were the vertical blanking interval. You know, when
is that for black and white?
No,
too?
Well, yes, it wouldn't matter. When your TV hold, remember when vertical hold wouldn't hold and you'd see that black bar that would keep coming across your screen
the
years ago?
Flippy thing? Yeah, it would flip.
Well, that was the vertical blanking interval. So anyway, enough of that. But yes, you'll get a television and it will see TCM probably the same way you would have seen it back in the day, which was not good.
Oh, well, I hope so, because I can't stand it looking like it's shot on video.
Well, it very well may look like that, but I don't know. You'll be finding out.
We'll be finding out, and they only want $48 a month.
$48 a month for what?
For the 75-inch TV.
Well, you're buying it on time or renting it or something?
Yeah, we're buying it on time.
Oh, so I can't speak to that. How long? 45 a month for how many months?
48 a month for I don't know, a year or something, a year or two? I don't know.
It's probably more than a year.
It's, 2 years maybe, a year and a half. I don't know.
All right.
Albert knows about it. I don't know.
Yeah, well, you'll be finding out, and keep me apprised. I can't wait to hear about your television experience.
Oh, yeah. I'll let you know when we get it hooked up.
All right. All right. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Okay,
bye.
So 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. We got Stacy. We got Sherry. And hopefully we got you two on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Ali James. It was good for Marvin Gaye, that's for damn sure. It was number one for 10 weeks on the R&B charts in 1982 on Tamla, Sexual Healing. It was Jim and Gurney who requested that way back when. I finally got around to playing it. Hopefully Jim still listens to the show. In any event, it only got to number three on the pop chart. Stayed there for about 3 weeks, but number one 10 weeks on the R&B charts. Yes, 1982, and John said, never heard of it. All right. In the 80s, John directed a dance show, Dancing on Air, I think was it called, and the Dance Party USA or whatever. But the bottom line to this was that Sexual Healing apparently was not danceable, or at least not played, or he'd know. So, because he knows all these 80s records that just surprised the heck out of me. 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, Sherry is in Naperville, and we got a minute this hour. So, Sherry, what's up?
You got only a minute?
Well, I can. You can talk to me after the news, but I got a minute now, so let's have the synopsis.
Oh, that's fine. I have one quick question. You opened up with pills on the floor.
Yeah, the ghost. Nobody the ghost. Tylenol. Yeah.
Well, no, but I mean, do you guys have a helper?
No.
That comes?
No. No.
You guys don't have any helper?
No. No.
And there's no, other unit that's adjoining yours?
No.
Okay. And I have no clue if you don't have a cleaning lady or...
Nothing like that at this point. No cleaning lady, no maintenance people, no nothing. And nobody coming in here, nothing. Just pills showing up on the floor individually away from everything
therapist?
Else. Nope, we go to them.
Oh, okay. Well, that was my first thought.
No, it's a nice thought.
Yeah, maybe. Unless a kid lived there and they used to hide the pills.
No, yeah, right, and they suddenly show up on the carpet. I don't think so, but it's a nice thought, Sherry.
Close the door, it rolled out.
Nope. But interesting thought, and as always, thanks for calling. Now, do you have much more to say? Because we'll hold you over if you do.
Oh, I was gonna ask. I heard.
Okay, no, yes, that's a yes or a no. Okay, very good. Well, that's a yes. And so we'll do that right after the news, and then we'll talk to Fran and Austin and Stacy and Algonquin and you two coming up on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Yeah, Johnny Goin and Austin requested that. Now, fine record. Bad Water, the Raylettes on Tangerine. Of course, 1971. A fine record. It was a B-side, by the way. Booty Butt was the A-side. 888-876-5593. Before we get back to Sherry in Naperville, meant to mention this earlier. Debbie and Raleigh, will you please call John at 888-876-5593. He wants to give you TJ's phone number. TJ in Chicago would love to reconnect with you, Debbie. So, Debbie, call us and we will give you TJ's phone number. And John said, sounds like Lonely Hearts Club. And I said, oh no, it's like Joe Rosenfeld's Happiness Exchange. All right, but actually, it's like friends getting together with friends. So, Debbie, if you can call, we'll give you TJ's contact information. So, 888-876-5593. And that takes us back to Sherry in Naperville. That's your cue.
Hey, I'm here. The first thing before I forget, that first song you played this evening, I liked it. And you said Johnny D requested it?
Yeah, Louis Prima, Banana Split for My Baby, 1956 on Capitol.
Wait. Louis Prima, P-R-I-M-A?
Yes, of course.
I don't know. You're teaching me a lot, Raleigh.
Well, you know, Louis Prima and Keeley Smith, lots of hits, you know.
No, I didn't know that.
Well, you do now.
Banana Split for My Baby.
Yes, it was a B-side.
It was a very cute song.
Yes, it was on Capitol.
Anyway, what was the other thing? I remember that. Oh, and then tonight, whenever they put the hot stuff on, I just automatically tune out because it's like telling me something in a different language. And so I will switch stations, and I switched to the my WDCB and see what they had. And they were playing, I think it was called Billie Holiday's Rare Recordings through this show called Afterglow, which I thought was from College of DuPage, but it's not. It's actually from Indiana Public Media. But they said some things that I thought I'd ask you about because you're the professor. In the 1940s, they said that they the new recordings were banned.
Well, this is the strike.
Oh, it was a strike.
Yeah, this is the AFM, absolutely. This was a very big deal. The issue was, by the time recorded music was being played on radio, live bands, live orchestras, were no longer being paid to play on the air. And so they were very upset. There was an absolute strike. This would be 1942 through 44, the AFM. And in fact, Chicago, James C. Petrillo was the union president for that. And he struck against the major recording companies, all of them, because he basically was saying, you're not going to use our musicians, and then they're not going to get royalties when your records are played on the radio. So it didn't affect anybody performing on live shows, obviously. That was not the target. It also didn't affect the Armed Forces discs and stuff of that nature. But for commercial recordings starting at midnight, July 31st, 1942, no AFM union musician could make a commercial recording for any commercial record company. So, they could participate in other types of music, but not in a recording session. And it was the longest strike in entertainment history. And again, at the time, union bands had dominated popular music. What was interesting is that it had an effect that they weren't expecting, because after the strike, partly as a result of it, there were other reasons as well, big bands began to decline, vocalists began to dominate in popular music. And so what Petrillo was saying is record companies should pay royalties. Well, obviously, but when you're talking about to background performers, whether they're bands or individual musicians and all that, they get a session fee, but they're not getting a fee for a royalty fee through everything sold or played. And so it was interesting because most people didn't think that this strike was actually going to happen. Newspapers opposed it, but Petrillo was very popular. Now, what the record companies did, because this had been talked about for at least 6 months, maybe a year before the strike, the record companies started to stockpile new recordings so that things they hadn't released that they could release. So they had like Tommy Dorsey and Jimmy Dorsey and Bing Crosby and Guy Lombardo or Glenn Miller, Count Basie, Woody Herman, on and on. They had all this in the can that they knew they could release once the strike hit because the stuff was already recorded. So it was, gotcha. What happened, of course, it was months, probably the rest of 1942, before any effects were even noticed. And the record companies were thinking, well, we'll call the union's bluff. We'll just release these new recordings because we've got all these stockpiles. Well, that was okay, except the strike lasted longer than anybody thought it would last. And so you had companies that were reissuing things that they had already deleted from catalogs, some of them like from the 20s. And, one of them, an example would be Harry James, All or Nothing at All, which was recorded in 39 and had a new vocalist that no one ever heard of, Frank Sinatra. The original release had vocal by Frank Sinatra in small type, and it sold, a few thousand copies. When they reissued that in 1943, Sinatra's giving the top billing with the Harry James Orchestra in small type, and it became just a monster. It was on top of the charts for 18 weeks. So you had a number of things like that as time goes by, which, of course, when it was featured in Casablanca, became immensely popular. But that had actually been recorded for RCA in 1931. So here comes the movie, Casablanca, and all of a sudden RCA said, and we're going to release Rudy Valley right about now. And so there were all sorts of things that made it superfluous to have a strike. But because of the length length of the strike, it did have an effect. And so what the labels did, because, you know, the labels weren't going to roll over and play dead, and they weren't going to give in to Petrillo's requests either. What the labels did was that instead of having the musicians record the background, they had vocal groups doing the more backup work. And so, you know, you had arrangers come in, and you had things like the Bobby Tucker Singers, rather than somebody like
so it
Harry
only
James.
Affected it was because of the musicians
it was the musicians mm-hmm.
is yeah. it like American Federation of Musicians
yeah AFM that's AFM? Exactly what it was James C. Petrilla
oh
yeah
I just okay
yeah
all right and the other thing they mentioned that I did not know like Johnny Mercer what I know about him is that he wrote some songs for Song of the South and then well, that was one of my favorite movies okay. as a kid. I like the stories. And at any rate, and then, like, when I listen on Saturdays, he will be on with Bing Crosby and stuff, and mm-hmm. then they'll, you know, sing funny stuff to each other. You know, I didn't know that they were... this whole back-then radio thing, it was very interesting to me. And,
Well, Johnny Mercer was a...
They said he started...
He started Capitol. He was Capitol? He was a serious guy. He was born before 1910, and he was around, I don't know, till about 76, so I think that's when he died. But he co-founded Capitol. There were two other guys, Glenn Wallach from Wallach Music City and Buddy DeSilva were the other founders of that. But Mercer was a typical Tin Pan Alley guy. So he was a lyricist and plugging songs, obviously. He recorded some of his own stuff but you know when you talk about Johnny Mercer you're talking about Moon River, Days of Wine and Roses, Autumn Leaves, Hooray for Hollywood and on you're talking a lot of stuff. He was from Savannah originally and
wow.
He wrote a lot of stuff, and I mean a lot of stuff. One of the things was, as a kid, growing up in Savannah, he had servants, and they happened to be African-American, as you would expect. But what happened was he got exposed to black music and just loved it. And he was, you know, friendly with the servants' kids. They were his playmates. And, you know, he really got into that. And the songs fascinated him. And so you can hear that in a lot of his stuff. And he was terrific. I mean, you know, you can't really overestimate Johnny Mercer. He was a very big deal.
Well, that explains why my old neighbor from Georgia that worked for Delta was so she goes oh and Johnny Mercer
yeah
that's the first time I ever heard the name and learned about that
oh big
the
deal
last thing I wanted to tell two little things I want to tell you you know Jimmy I told you he got back but he needs someone to help him get into bed and a couple right. and he has this PT come to him
right.
and so he's in bed by like 9:30 so he doesn't right. get to hear you okay. for a while I
all
guess,
right
so
he's still working on he's still working on transfers getting in and out of bed things like that
yes yeah. but at least he's out of the home
absolutely out of rehab yeah
recovery home
yep
and so he is slap happy about that. He's got a whole list of people to call, he said. But, and then the last thing is, while you were moving studios and out for a couple weeks, and I want to say it was the end of February-ish date, like maybe February 28th, 27th.
Okay.
I heard on the radio, don't know who, but something like some government agency, I assume it's maybe the FCC. Now, I might have this part wrong specifically, but... And not this part, but that they mandated that all electric vehicles either made or sold in the U.S. must have AM radio
no.
because, this is the part I might get backwards, because it is the crux of the American weather alert system.
Yeah, no, yeah, I know what you're talking about. It wasn't exact. I wish it was that. And here is the deal. When it became known that a lot of these car manufacturers weren't going to put AM radios in or were opposed to putting them in the future, you had had a legislator who wrote to 12 of the companies and pretty much said, you know, what are you going to do here? You know, Ford and the likes. Well, in the meantime, it got about a group of government people, including several engineers who used to work for FEMA. And they put together a signed letter pretty much saying why AM radio had to be in the cars. And so it's not a mandate and nothing has happened, but it was a very big vote of confidence for AM in the cars.
Well, can't they ask us in the next election?
Well, yeah, right. No, it doesn't quite work that way. But, you know, there is a pushback, and it'll be interesting to see how this goes. But, no, it was not anything like a mandate.
Well, all they need is the sports teams, the NFL and the... Because where else are you going to hear them?
Well, no, and it depends. You're saying that in Chicago because the play-by-play is on AM, but it's in FM and other markets. It's in various places. What you were talking about is the FEMA guys were warning against against dropping AM for in fact security and safety reasons, and so that was the deal. You had seven former administrators of FEMA sending a letter to the transportation secretary, the lovely Pete Buttigieg, and a lot of congressional committees urging legislatures to guarantee continued AM support. Now, you also had that legislator, I'm trying to think of who it was, and that's terrible, who wrote to the companies, and I'd be curious, because he did this in January, I'd be curious to know if he heard anything. Let me see if I can get anything online. Let's see. I don't know if that's
Was around end of February that they said that they mentioned whatever.
Yeah.
I might.
It was Ed Markey. It was Ed Markey, and he actually, you know, I know the end of February is the FEMA thing. I'm telling you, I know that letter. It was Ed Markey who, in December, went to 20 major car brands and asked them to detail their plans for AM radio in all their vehicles. And I'm curious, Ed Markey, what he heard back.
They probably haven't. Oh, well, it is end of March almost.
It's a while. Let's see. Here he is in March. He's criticizing eight automakers for removing AM. Said that the nine automakers have undermined FEMA removing AM. So December he asked the companies whether they were discontinuing AM. Of the 20 companies, eight have removed AM radio from their electric vehicles: BMW, Ford, Mazda, Polestar, Rivian, Tesla, Volkswagen, and Volvo. Markey is saying that you're undermining FEMA for you're no longer delivering critical public safety information to the public. 10 automakers: Honda, Hyundai, Jaguar, Land Rover, Kia, Lucid, Mitsubishi, Nissan, Stellantis, Subaru, and Toyota still maintain AM in the cars. Mercedes-Benz and General Motors refuse to respond.
Because I thought I had heard something like it's going to interfere with their computer system.
Yeah, right.
Cockamamie.
People
that I know, they'll go to, if they want one with, they want a different radio in the car they just bought. So they go to,
The problem is with aftermarket stuff, if it's not properly filtered, it's not going to work. And what we're talking about here with electric cars is the likelihood of interference with AM medium wave transmission. And so these car manufacturers could easily put in a filter that would probably cost them less than $10 to mass produce in every one of these cars. But they're not. And so you can't just say, I'm going to put an aftermarket radio in. You're going to have to find a way to filter it as well. You can't just plunk it in there.
Well, they should make it an option.
Well, they should do a lot of things. But now the next thing is, what do individuals demand? What's the market saying? How many people who are buying electric cars actually want AM radio? And there is your discussion. And we'll have it some night.
I don't even think they know that it's
going
to be in the cars.
Well, I'm not sure how many are listening to it. So you've got a number of... This extends into hours and hours, and maybe that's something to discuss some night.
Oh, I get it.
You've ended the half hour, and thank you for calling. All right, Sherry, I appreciate it. We'll pick it up right there. We got Fran and Austin. We got Stacy and Algonquin. Eduardo is in Midway. Oh, the fungus among us and more coming up on WGN Radio.
Up at midnight
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. That's Sisters Love. 1968, they formed. They were on A&M. Actually, Odia Coates was in that group, the gal who did Having My Baby with Paul Anka. Yeah, well, don't hold that against her. Sisters Love was an interesting group. They were originally a man-child, and then they moved right over to A&M. And Are You Lonely came out in 1971. And I know Gary likes that, as in Gary from Johnny and Gary in Austin. So, yeah, meant to play that a while ago, but there you have it. Gwen Berry was in that group. Mary Clayton, yeah. So a lot of good. There's someone else, I think Lily Fort, but yeah, Mary Clayton, of course, in Odia Coates, well-known, and or should be reasonably well-known, and not from Sisters Love. That was a fine record all the way around. So 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh. And Fran is in Austin. Welcome back to WGN Radio, Fran.
Hey, Raleigh.
What's up?
Well, I'm really glad that Johnny asked for Bad Water, because I haven't heard that song in ages, and I love it.
It is a great song.
Yeah. Talking about things like smart speakers and that sort of thing, and
mm-hmm.
smart TVs. I don't even think you can get what I call a dumb TV anymore. I don't even know, you know, all of them are smart TVs.
Well, you know, it's interesting because I don't buy televisions. I buy really nice video monitors with speaker capabilities. And in fact, I just bought three of them. And ViewSonics, they're just lovely. And then I use Roku or whatever streaming device I want with them. So technically, they're not TVs of any sort. And believe me, they're not smart.
But, I guess Roku, does that work pretty much? Because I don't have Roku. It's not, I heard it's not accessible.
I hate to hear that.
I've never tried to use it.
Right. And I never thought about it that way. I hope it's not a GUI. Although, of course, everything tends to be. But there's several other devices that compete with Roku. Amazon's got one and others do as well. I can't imagine that none of them are accessible. That would be horrid if that's the case.
Yeah, that would be. I have a smart TV, and it's just, you know, I couldn't find a TV that I wanted that did what I wanted it to do without it being a smart TV. But, and I, you know, I mean, I've read 1984. I know, you know, it's listening to me and all that. And yet, you get sucked in by the convenience of these things.
Yeah, I don't.
And that's, of course, exactly what you're supposed to do.
Right,
according to, you know.
Right. It's what they're counting on. But no, I don't. Now, I just looked up accessibility with Roku, and here's what they're saying. Audio Guide provides an accessible entertainment experience for people with visual impairments. Audio Guide is a text-to-speech screen reader that assists customers with navigation of the Roku user interface and on-screen menus. When activated, Audio Guide reads out text, menus, and other on-screen items.
Oh, okay. I guess they've improved that. Good.
So, and you can turn it on or off within the accessibility, menus. And it's on all Roku TV models that are sold now, whether it's like Roku Ultra or Premier Plus. Or I'm looking at John. Is that the thing you keep accidentally turning on?
Yeah, it's hard to turn off.
He said it's much harder to turn off than turn on. Yeah, because he'll be watching it. He said, I've done it again. So it's Roku OS 7.5 or later, and anything that's sold now. And by the way, it's only in English. So if you're asking for a language other than English, Audio Guard will automatically be turned off. It will also be disabled if you're using the private listening feature, and that's not on all Roku devices anyway. But the bottom line is, you can absolutely get this audio read out, which is good.
Yeah, that's great. But these smart speakers, they're so, I will not get one. No, I will not get one. They listen to everything. No, I mean, I kept fighting it, and I finally got them because they just make things so much easier, in some ways. And, but yet, it's like they want to take it. If you ask it to do one thing, it'll do that, and it'll say, and I can do this for you. But no, I just want you to do what I ask you to do and nothing else. And we have a friend who, her grandchild is basically being disciplined by her Amazon device.
This is not acceptable.
No, because what's happening is this child, I don't know if they're ADD or what the problem is, but they had trouble, keeping their routines and, getting to work, or getting to school, to work, yeah, getting to school on time, or, getting ready on time and all this kind of thing. So they set up this whole program on their Amazon devices. As soon as I said that name, one of mine came on.
See, yes, and I rest my case, Your Honor.
Yeah, although I thought, well, it doesn't come on unless you say that word.
Yeah, all right, yeah. But it's listening.
That is not true. I can't tell you how many times we've been sitting here talking to people, and we've said something that doesn't sound anything like that word.
It doesn't matter. I'm telling you.
And it comes on.
And so that's the price you pay.
Well, you can turn it off.
Well, you can also completely disconnect it if you're smart, but on the other hand...
But now I've gotten so darned used to it, and I keep thinking, I should put these away. I should just get rid of these. I should put them in the closet or just dump them or, give them to somebody that wants them, but now I'm hooked.
Well, it does make you wonder who's connected to this. I guess if you were really brave, you could, plan the perfect murder or overthrow of the government or something and see who showed up at the front door.
Yeah, I did. I just said, overthrow the government.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, okay, I'm just saying it. Is that going to be...
You're right.
I was just kind of playing around. I thought, nah, nothing's going to happen if I say that.
It's that famous case. Famous case in Canada where, they had a system, and it's here too, where every phone call, no matter what, is monitored. There's no person actually listening to it, but keywords can be thrown out for more investigation. And so here was this housewife complaining to her friend that her kid bombed in the school play. Well, you can imagine what happened.
Oh, no, I see what's coming.
That is exactly what came. The RCMP showed up at her door. And when they finally realized what the discussion was, they were pretty embarrassed, actually. And went away saying, have a good day. And that was it. But but the idea that there are systems, and again, it's not going to be somebody at the other end listening to your every word, but it is things that can be kicked back for further study. And in this woman's case, they obviously didn't study it enough before they dispatched someone.
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
And, some people say, well, they can't be listening to everybody and who, you're not a spy or...
They don't have to be. They just have to automate it and you're just kicking out words and phrases.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. No, no, there's no person who sits there hearing it all, or group of people who do that. No, it's completely automated.
But what gets me about it is that, you know, I know better. Mm-hmm. I understand. And I got one anyway.
Well, here's the deal.
Okay, friend, what is wrong with you?
No, everything, you're living in the mall of life, as I like to say. Never any sales.
Mm-hmm.
Everything costs something. If you're willing to pay the price, then fine. And the price of this comfort is the fact, and convenience is the fact that, yes, it's entirely possible that this is being recorded. It's entirely possible that this will be heard, et cetera, and so forth. Well, as long as you say, hey, I'll pay that price, then fine. Enjoy it.
Yeah,
it's when you
now
say
I'm thinking
right.
About,
yeah, it's when you say I don't
hadn't
want.
Thought
yeah.
About it before. We yeah. Got one in our bedroom, and I'm thinking, well, maybe I shouldn't have one in there.
Well, you probably know what happened in Germany with Amazon. And this was a fascinating little case because Germany has privacy laws second to none. And Amazon had to pay an awful lot of money to the German government. But it was one of those things where somebody requested a transcript of their Alexa conversations or what have you. And Amazon complied, only they sent them the wrong person's transcript. Well,
oh no.
Yes. The person who got the transcript contacted one of the magazines in Germany that deals with cybersecurity and passed this mm-hmm. along. What was on the transcript they got, audio, of course, was in fact just what you're afraid of, what people sometimes do in the bedroom when they are having conjugal relations. And sure enough, he got someone else's. And Amazon, yes, they profusely apologized, but they also paid out the nose because while that wouldn't be a fine worthy action here, it was in Germany.
So, wow.
Yeah, it happens.
Boy, that's one thing that will ruin a mood, wouldn't it?
Well, I guess it depends who you are. For some people, it might be enticing. It's hard to say.
It might be, yeah.
Yeah, right, exactly. I don't want to go there. All right. Well, yes. No, but I mean, if you're willing to pay the price, enjoy the goods. And, you know, me, I ain't paying that price. I don't need that kind of convenience. Thank you very much.
Well, you're probably right, but what's done is done.
Well, there you
anyway,
go.
I had a request.
Oh, yes.
Well, two things. I love Johnny Mercer.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. Man, he's great.
Yeah.
I don't know. One of my favorite songs of his is My Sugar Is So Refined.
Oh, yes, absolutely. All right. I'll look for it.
Okay. And also, if you don't hate it, the Standells, Good Guys Don't Wear White.
Okay. Yeah, I kind of do, but I haven't heard it in a long time, so I might be willing to play that.
Oh, if you hate it.
No,
you know,
that's all right.
I'm not one of those people that wants you to play stuff.
Yeah,
you hate.
No. It's not like that. It's not causing a rash. All right, we'll do it.
Oh, okay.
All right,
good.
Thanks. Appreciate it. All right.
Okay, thanks, Raleigh. Bye.
So, let's see. We're going to get to David, who's a first-time caller. Don't go away, David. We're going to talk about songs and commercials. And I want to talk to you, David, so stay right where we are. Rita is in Harwood Heights, and she had her eye surgery, and I asked her to call, so we'll be hearing from her, too. And Stacy from Algonquin and Eduardo in Midway and is hanging in there as well, and there'll be room for you, too. But, David, stay right where you are, and we'll be right back to it on WGN Radio. WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and going to forego the bumper because I don't want to lose David, a first-time caller in Chicago. Welcome to WGN Radio, David.
Hi, Raleigh, and good evening to you. How are you?
All right, thank you for calling.
Yes, I'll tell you what, I'm a first-time caller, but I'm a long-time listener. I love your show. It reminds me of like an old town hall where everybody gets together and just shares, and it's great. I really love it. But mm-hmm. I have a specific reason. I've been wanting to call you for the last couple of months, and yeah. Things just, you know, you haven't been able to, but I have a couple. You're the exact person I need to talk to about this, because you know when you hear a commercial and there's a song and you go, I don't know what that song is, I've never heard it, but I've got to Google it and find it. I have two songs I want, and I want to actually turn them into requests if I can for you.
Okay.
One is for it's a current commercial that's running for Whole Foods. And when I did my research on this, Google it and whatever, it's by a Chicago group called the Duets.
Okay, sure.
and every beat of my heart. Okay. And I never heard the song, but and I just wonder, like, why would they pick that song to be a theme, you know, a theme song or a signature song for, you know, the Whole Foods? But it's there, and it's in every commercial, and it's like, do the duets, or does anybody see money from this?
yes, not necessarily the group, but yes. Hang on right where you are. We're going to talk about that next hour. Don't go away.
Okay.
All right. So yeah, it's a fine question all the way around, and I'll try to find the Whole Foods commercial, which I haven't heard, but of course the song I have. So all that and more is coming up next hour right here on WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and that they are the Duets, and Barbara Livesey really is the Duets, and her cousin Mary Frances Hayes, and they were terrific. And she started singing in grade school, but in high school she and Mary Frances formed the Duets, and they wound up doing a talent contest, as is often the case, and who's in the audience but reps from Wonderful, yeah, George Lehner's Wonderful label. And sure enough, they signed them. And so Wonderful and Impact and Marvelous, the three labels that are associated with Lehner in the R&B end of it, released five or six gritty records. And what's interesting about this is Andre Williams was involved. In fact, he co-wrote Every Beat of My Heart and was the producer on that as well. And it's a fine record. We'll talk about Whole Foods in a moment. But since we really don't play too much duets on this particular show, but I do on KJ, my obscure oldies station, I thought I'd play a little of my favorite duets record when it comes right down to it. Yeah, I'm partial, and the one I like is Please Forgive Me. Barbara Livesey, she was around for a few years after the Duets. She was in New York briefly and came back to Chicago. But ultimately, by about the mid-70s, she just disappeared, and absolutely no one's heard since. But things like Please Forgive Me and Every Beat of My Heart are big, big Northern Soul records, to say the least, as you can hear. And so David, who's a first-time caller in Chicago, said, why Whole Foods? All right, so I went and I pulled the commercial so that I could see it and hear it. And the first thing I thought is the lyrics are perfect for it, to start out Every Beat of My Heart, and the graphics and all that with what they're talking about, it fit. And so you're saying, who is the creative on this? And the creative agency was Mullen Love, Mullen Lowe. And Mullen started out in 1970 as a suburban Boston agency. I think they were in Wenham. And Jim Mullen was a biophysicist who started the agency and hired a creative director and all that. And then they later became Mullen Lowe, Love, Lowe, what am I saying? L-O-W-E. And they've been around for a long time. They were, many years ago, the largest independent agency in New England, but then they were acquired, of course. You can imagine how that goes. But today, in addition to Whole Foods, they've got another. They've got a lot of people. Burger King and Century 21, and you know, I'm trying to think of who else. Other food as well. But anyway, and some big clients. Anyway, it was Mullen Lowe who came up with that, and who at that agency picked that song, I don't know. But when you look at the graphic, it fits, doesn't it?
Well, it does. It's just you know, to me, is like, how would that song, you know, come on their radar? And it's just, I had never heard it before. And you know, I mean, I'm not as knowledgeable as you in terms of you're a walking encyclopedia. I mean, please. But, you know, I thought that was curious. The other one that I thought was interesting, and I don't know if you, this may not be on currently, but it was on for the last few months, was a Google commercial. And it was all about all the Google protections of that they offer for security purposes. So what song do you think they picked?
I'm almost afraid to ask.
It was one I had never heard of, and I had to Google this one too. Etta James, Security.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well,
and she just wails in that song, and it fit that commercial, like you just said about Whole Foods, but it fit the whole premise of security.
Well, sure, and there's a lot of people who did that that song, obviously. So whoever decided liked that version. There was a car commercial that had a Bobby Day record in it. I'm trying to think of what the record was now, but my buddy Val Shively had said, people are calling for this Bobby Day record. Why would that be? I said, it's in a commercial. And
And, you know, when I was doing my research, and you know this off the top of your head, but I didn't realize that Otis Redding wrote it
well and recorded it.
I listened to his version, but I gotta tell you, Ed's version is pretty darn good.
Well, there's nothing wrong with it, but I'll go with Otis on it, and that actually is my favorite Otis Redding record. So
really,
yeah, I don't know why, but Security by Otis Redding is the one that floats my boat.
All right. Well, then I'll if I can request it, then maybe you can play the Otis.
Well, I'll be happy to play the other version too, because I'm a big Etta James fan. That wouldn't be my favorite Etta James record, but it's a fine record.
It's great, and it fits that commercial. So, and I have just one other thing to just, you know, bend your ear on, because I know I love when you talk about, you know, AM radio and the history and stuff. It just really intrigues me because I grew up with all of that. And there was a thing that came across, and I subscribe to different rating services, and I keep up with all that stuff. And this is just a sad note I had to share with you, that this is a few days ago, the San Francisco ratings came out, monthly ratings, and KGO failed to show.
That shouldn't surprise anyone.
I mean, Raleigh, it didn't even have a .01.
Aren't they now doing like all betting in a market where sports betting online is not legal?
I believe, and they picked the most awful name. They're calling it The Spread.
Yeah, I know. Well, yeah, how to ruin a radio station. And yes, at one point, KGO was arguably the best talk radio station in America. And of course, it was number one every book for probably 20 years. It was amazingly successful. But no, that radio station has been dead and buried, unfortunately. So
Raleigh, I mean, how bad do you have to be to not even to not show up?
Well, and I got. By the way, I'm going to look at this and see when you say not show up, if they even have a .1 on something. So
the overall for the overall 6+ or whatever the overall rating, was a 0.0.
Of course, this is People Meter, and you are talking San Francisco, where there was one zip code where for a while no one listened to any radio station until they fixed that. That was really fascinating. But yeah.
It could be an anomaly.
Well, I don't expect them to do well. But what I'm really curious also is I want to see their QM. But let's have a look at this.
Give a quick look.
The death of a
major, major radio station.
Yeah, KNEW shows up with a 0.1. That's frightening. But I'm not even.
Can you find KGO?
No, I'll tell you, I'm finding stations I forgot were there, and I'm not finding KGO. So this is vast. And by the way, remember when this happened? I predicted when I found out that they were. I never thought they would have done it. You know, in terms of go all betting before the betting passes or fails in the state.
Right.
You know, I mean, two months before. So wouldn't normal people wait to find out what was going to be going on there?
You would think. It's like, you know, it's just remarkable that, you know, and it's obviously a cumulus station, and it just reminds me of how you know they've just taken these legacy AMs, much like a WLS here, and just. They're just not even a shadow of their former selves. They're not even they're nothing. I mean, it's pretty sad.
The whole thing was sad, but you know this was sad. Well, it goes back. You know, it was great even through the ABC Cap Cities merger. That was wonderful. But then when I'm trying to think of his name now, he was Karmazin's business guy. What the hell is his name? And he wound up getting the group, and then he really ticked off investors, and they pulled it from him, and it wound up going to Cumulus. Why can't I think of his name?
I know. Yeah, it's Fareed.
Yeah, Fareed Suleiman. Absolutely right.
Yes, Fareed.
Yeah, well, mm-hmm. when after those numbers, when he wound up paying himself and everybody else big bonuses, basically the vulture capitalists turned on him, and that was a way for the Dickies to get in there, and of course they did. But talk about running things into the ground, and then sadly Cumulus has gone from bad to worse, and you know, we could go on about that. But I don't see him here, and I'm looking for QM, and I'm not finding a QM. Here we go. Let's look at a Cumulus. Okay, I got a QM. They got to show up with something, don't they? Some form of a QM?
Well, you know, you would think. It's a 50,000 watt signal.
Yeah, considering that KFRC's HD2 signal shows up with some QM. Did they change their call letters?
No, they did not. They did not, Raleigh. They hung on to those. They hung on to the call letters, but everything else looks like it got flushed right down the toilet.
I will say I haven't been keeping up with this, obviously, but this is utterly alarming.
I saw that. It's like, you know, and I know when you talk about the legacy AMs, and it's like I love when you speak about that because you're so eloquent and you're so well versed, and it just like and I hear call letters that I've forgotten, and it just brings back a lot of good memories.
Yeah, well, this is not a memory. This is a nightmare. This is unbelievable. Oh my God!
You know, it's just like, you know, I would think that the power bill, and you know, you're certainly a, you know, you have, you know, the power bill on that radio station has to be more than what they're making.
I hope Mickey Luckoff is not alive, because man, that poor man, he was just Mr. GM, for like 30 years, and I know he quit in 2010. He had just walked out the door, and that was a big news. But I hope he's not alive, I mean, I hope he's not cognizant that this is going on, because it would have to be really sad. Oh, man.
Even WLS has, you know, a one share or whatever. But, you know, to have nothing, and it was highlighted in one of the things, and it actually, you know, said it, and I wouldn't have even noticed it had they not mentioned it. And it was like, It has no ratings.
It's not even showing up with a 0.1. Now, I don't want you to tell many people, because I can see it now. Tesla's standing up and saying, exemplar number one, KGO. This is why we don't have AM radio in our cars.
Yeah, well, we'll keep it between us.
Yes, right, exactly, and the seven people who are listening. But yeah, I mean, the third highest rated station in the market, who has also at times been the highest rated in the station in the market, is on AM, and that's KCBS All News. So
I mean,
and San Francisco's a good AM market.
The AM band is not dead in San Francisco. It just happens to be that radio station.
Well, absolutely, and KNBR All Sports still shows up, and yes, yeah. Yes, it's a perfect market for AM because the terrain just destroys FM in so many different ways. But,
Exactly.
Well, thanks a lot. I'm not going to sleep tonight.
Well, I'll tell you what. I enjoy your show, and I will keep listening. And if I have any other fun facts, I'll give you a call back, and we'll have a little update.
Yes, we'll definitely call back, but with better news next time.
I will. And don't forget, if you can play Secure. Either version, I just think it's one of those great little finds. So, you know, somewhere down the road, no rush.
You betcha. Thanks for calling.
Thank you, Raleigh.
All right,
have a great night.
You too. We'll pick it up right there in moments, hopefully with you. Eduardo's still hanging in there. Oh, we lost Stacy. Who could blame her? Her arm probably fell asleep holding on. I'm so sorry. And Rita. And let's see, Diane. Yeah, we're going to talk about radio. And then Mike in Mount Pleasant. Oh, man, I can only guess what his song requests will be. I'll play Security instead, coming up on WGN Radio.
Security, yeah, yeah. I want some security.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Well, you got it. Security, Etta James version. Yeah. I know I'm partial to Otis, but it's still a terrific record. All right, so now we will do a number of things, but I've been remiss here because TJ called back, and by the way, thank you to Debbie who called and connected with TJ, except that's not who TJ was trying to connect with. TJ, come on. It was Karen. All right, Karen, are you still listening? Are you awake? I hope so. So, Karen, if you're awake, could you please call us 888-876-5593 so we can give you TJ's number so you guys can reconnect? All right, we'll see how that goes. So, and we'll pick it up right there, yeah, with Eduardo and Rita and Diane and Mike and you two coming up on WGN Radio.
My sugar is so refined. She's one of them high-class kind. She doesn't wear a hat. She wears a chapeau. She goes to see a cinema, but never a show. My sugar is so refined. She's got a real high class mind. She never buys a dress, it's always a frock. She always winds her timepiece up, but never her clock.
She says tomato instead of tomato. She says potato instead of potato.
And you should see how she holds a cup of tea with just two fingers while she sticks out three.
My sugar is so refined. She's one of them high-class kind.
She never shares a kiss. She lets our lips unite. But oh, it feels like kissing. Each kiss is dynamite. I wonder what she thinks of each time I hold her tight. Oh, she's so refined.
WGN Radio, I'm Riley James, and that is My Sugar Is So Refined. And that was the first recording of that in July of 46. It's Johnny Mercer with the Pied Pipers and Paul Weston and his orchestra. And Johnny Mercer did not write it. Yeah, despite all the wonderful songs he wrote, he didn't write that one. Sid Lipman and Sylvia Dee wrote it, but he was the first to sing it. And the High Lows did it, of course. You might remember that version. And Peggy Lee did it, and several others as well. So 888-876-5593 is 8888. Raleigh and Eduardo in Midway, the Fungus Among Us. What's up, Eduardo? Eduardo left us. Smart. Absolutely. It's been almost 2 hours. Hopefully he'll try again tomorrow night. So we'll talk to Diane in Chicago. How's it going, Diane?
Hi, Raleigh. I thought I'd give a call, and I listen every night.
Thank you.
I just hadn't called when, you know, the thing happened that you talked about regarding John. John sounds good.
Yeah.
And as everybody has already said, so I'm calling basically just to say hello. I also mentioned to John, so he had said that you had said Diane's going to talk about radio. Well, not really. I don't know much about all of these subjects that mainly a lot of your callers knows, you know, like the other caller, he was discussing in depth and all of these. So that's esoteric things that you have great knowledge on. But the radio mention I made was about the Bose radio I have.
Oh, yeah.
Where I listen, you know. The Bose, I got it on Craigslist.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a used one.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a CD player on there as well. But as much as I've always thought Bose was really a wonderful radio to have, it's just not. I called up the Bose company and they said maybe it's an older model. I can't get certain FM stations, like, you know, it just doesn't go to, for instance, 88.7.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of those old stations, or, you know, what it's called, antenna.
Non-commercial.
Me TV, whatever, yeah.
Right.
With the old songs or whatever. But I can't get it on there. But I have this little General Electric oldie radio. That good thing I was going to throw it away because this clock thing is off of it. But it works fine, and it does get the old FM, and it's one of those like beach radios where you can put a battery in it also. Well, you can put a battery in the Bose radio. So why is it so in all of these, when you're talking about smart TV and all of this, everything seems geared for remote, and you can't disengage it from the electric plug then and have a bad battery in it, so you can't do it that way, so you can move it around because this cord might be more short, you know what I mean. But anyway, other subjects, I usually call with the trivia thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have any knowledge on all these other subjects, but and tonight you're not having, but I read a lot, and I read and I like old showbiz, so outside of singers, I was reading I read recently an Eddie Cantor biography, Lucille Ball, Desi Arnaz, and also Jack Benny. Jack Benny had an interesting story written by his daughter Joan. So I like those types of biographies. They're just sort of, you know, entertaining to read, as opposed to the more serious other biographies or the historical stuff. But anyway, do you have any trivia or not? You don't do that, right?
We do it on Monday nights.
On a Monday, and you don't do any Do some people ask about a jingle or whatever?
Yeah, and you can ask about anything. Any category you want.
No, that's on Monday, though.
Yeah, for trivia, on Monday.
Right? But nobody's asking you anything tonight.
Not trivia-wise, but no, we did talk about some songs that have been used in some commercials, but that was just...
That was a connection. Okay, yeah. And then in conclusion, I want to say then, all right, I hope everything's well, and speaking of people who call in, you've talked about Scotty.
Yes.
And has he called in?
No,
not at all.
And I was talking to John earlier today saying I'm very worried because we keep asking for Scotty to call in. And John said, well, we probably got his phone number because he's won some prizes. And I said, yeah, but I don't want to intrude. You know, I mean, I don't want to intrude on that. But I hope he'll give us a call.
Yeah, hopefully. Okay, well, nice talking to you again.
Yes.
And you have a good evening.
And I hope you will call again. Thank you.
Yes.
All
you're
right.
Welcome.
Good
Bye-bye.
Deal. So 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh, taking us to Rita in Harwood Heights. What's up tonight, Rita?
Hi, Molly.
Hey.
You know, tonight and during the day, I heard about that eye lubricant that has a virus in it that is causing blindness.
Oh my God.
And and people have been losing their eyesight, and I brought to mind that man that you had on the air maybe a couple months ago where he had had an eye enucleation, and then he developed a retinal detachment, and because it was a pandemic time, they refused to do any surgery on it?
Right. No, absolutely. We talk with him regularly. That's Mark.
Mark, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was wondering how he's doing because I have a sister-in-law in Kansas that works with insurance, and she says that could be a lawsuit right there because they don't have to do it in the hospital. They do it, so their surgeries, cataract surgeries and everything were being done at a facility away from the hospital.
I don't have the particulars, nor do I know who his insurance is, because it might have been Medicaid, and there is a limit on what you can do in terms of getting redress.
Oh, that poor man.
I'm horrified.
I've had you and John on my prayer list.
Thank you.
And I've had him on my prayer list because I just feel so bad for him.
Oh, yeah. No, I do, too. That's beyond frustrating to think that kind of stuff goes on. And what really is sad is that Mark is not alone. This is a story that is happening and has been happening, and it is alarming.
Oh, my goodness. Yes. I just can't imagine that. I have a lot of disabilities right now, but at least I've got my eyesight.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I was just looking up this artificial tear story, and I'm glad you called it to my attention because I had not been aware that this was going on, and it's bacterial, but it's not only caused vision loss and surgical removal of eyes, but I think there's up to 3 deaths now. That's Global Pharma. Artificial Tears is the brand, distributed by Ezra Care and Delsum Pharma. And they're warning people not to use it. As of yesterday, the CDC identified 68 people in 16 states with infections. And this is a bacteria that has never been reported in the United States. So it makes me wonder, where was this drug made?
Maybe this is one of the ways that the Chinese or the Russians are trying to get rid of us.
Yeah, I don't think it's Russian, but it does make me wonder. And some of the new case reports are people who've lost vision, in some cases lost eyes. But this is just truly, truly horrible. The latest woman, she started noticing some blurry vision, and she went to the hospital a few days later, and doctors discovered a large ulcer on her cornea involving the entire eye. And, it caused detachments and ultimately, of course, led to vision loss. And so just horrible.
And this is artificial tears? Is that what it's
that,
called?
That is exactly what it's called, artificial tears. And it's
I have that, and I'm going to get rid of it then.
Do you have it in that brand?
Yeah.
I wouldn't touch it.
No. I'm going to get rid of it.
Oh, man. And there was another case recently where someone went to Bascom Palmer. Bascom Palmer is part of the University of Miami Med School, and it is really top-notch when it comes to vision issues. But it was a guy who had one day of severe pain and no previous eye problems. He'd been using this for artificial tears. They examined his right eye, saw the severe corneal infection, and by that point, he could only see shadows, didn't see even letters. And I don't know what happened with him, other than to say that they started him on strong antibiotics and they expected to see a degree of improvement, but instead, within 2 days later, he was far worse. And that's when they inquired specifically about what brand, and they knew that that they started to know what they had heard that they had on their hands. So apparently cultures from his cornea and the EzraCare bottle showed the same strain, and it's a drug-resistant bacteria. So he didn't lose his vision entirely, but at this point his vision's 2400, so he can see at 20 feet what healthy people can see at 400 feet. So, and you know, that's potentially permanent vision loss, and so he's got a corneal scar, and they might look at corneal transplantation at some point, but you know that's effectively not seeing out of that eye. So that is just horrible. And so now I'm just, you can bet I was awake before thinking about KGO not showing in the ratings. Man, this trumps that. I'll be looking at this. I want to know, where is this manufactured?
Yes. You know, the other thing is a lot of people call in to your show and they have vision problems. And I wonder if they are aware of the Chicago Lighthouse for the Blind.
Yeah.
We have up here on just off of Gulf Road, I think it's considered actually Glenview.
Mm-hmm.
They have like a center, but it's no doctors are there. But the staff is our resource. It's a resource center.
Mm-hmm.
And before the pandemic, they used to put out a newsletter. And because there's blindness in my family, I would go to their programs.
Mm-hmm.
And they're very good, very good. They even have movies and book clubs. And they're very, very good as a resource center. And they could probably give people, you know, referrals for doctors or whatever.
Well-known resource, but always good to mention it. Thank you.
Yeah.
All right. Mm-hmm. Well, good deal. Well, thanks again for the information. I'll be looking this up, and I will report back tomorrow after the game where this stuff is made, because I want to know.
Okay, can I put in a request?
Absolutely. What do you want to hear?
Okay. You know, I like Della Reese. Mm-hmm. And I also like John Denver and the Andrew sisters. And anything that you can pick. You're good at picking the good ones.
Okay.
So I'll just let you pick something.
Sounds good. All right, Rita, thank you for calling.
Thank you.
All right.
I literally love your show.
Great to have you. Okay. Call me again soon. All right. So I got to find out, where is this artificial tears manufactured to pick up that? John says India. Okay. He looked it up. India.
Sherry.
Oh, Sherry called and said India. All right. Well, very good. I want to see a little more about this. Not pleased. All right. So William's got a song question. Mike's got a request or complaining about something we didn't play that he requested. Well, that's not unusual. We know what he requests. All right. So all that and more coming up on WGN Radio.
Oh, I'm going to get a clock that's got no hands and keeps no time at all. Yes, I'm getting me a clock that's got no hands and I'm hanging it on my wall. Why rush if there's nowhere to go and no one there to see? Might as well get me a clock that's got no hands, since you went and wound up your love affair with me. I'm gonna find a new kind of a calendar that ends with yesterday, so I'll never have to mark each lonely day that you have been away. Although it's true I've lost your kiss, the memory will last if I get
myself a clock that's got no hands. I'm believing love's sweet and glorious past.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. So Rita wanted Della Reese, and there you go. I think that's John's favorite Della Reese record. 1964 RCA. It was a flip side. The bottom of Old Smokey was the A side, but this was definitively a better song. A clock that's got no hands. All right, so 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh, and William is in Chicago. What's up, William?
Okay, how are you doing?
All right, what's up?
Oh, I guess I'm pretty good. Let me see, I heard a song on your show. I got in the house kind of late, and I caught the end of it, and it was by the Schoolboys.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And I think you said that David Ruffin was singing on it. Is that right?
I don't remember what I played, but possibly.
That was the thing. Well, I can't, remember the name of the song. But it seemed like you said David Ruffin was one of the singers on that. And I was just, wondering,
Don't know.
Because I was, trying to tell a couple of my friends about it.
Yeah, no, it's not ringing a bell. I have quite a few Schoolboys records, but I don't I don't know that David Ruffin is on any of them. But I'm looking online to see what's on this computer, because that would probably tell me what I played. Let's see. Yeah. Oh God, it could be a lot of things. Say You Want Me. I'm guessing.
See which one now?
Please Say You Want Me.
You see, well, because it was a slow, slow song.
Well,
slow tempo.
Yeah, I'll play a little of it here, and you can tell me if it's the right song. So here we go. Think that's it?
I think that is.
I do not think that David Ruffin was involved with that record at all.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I was wondering about. I know you mentioned his name, and I wasn't quite sure, if he was on the record or not. But speaking of David Ruffin, I have one CD. Well, a lot of times, I try to find some things that are kind of obscure.
Yeah.
And I guess this label was a Motown a CD, and it has a lot of their, obscure songs on it. And there's one that he sings I forget which group he was with on the song, and he was more or less singing sort of like Jackie Wilson.
Okay.
But I can't think of the name of it, but I got it around the house. I'm going to have to... But I can't, think of the name. I was just thinking about it, when I was asking you about that question. Yeah, but he was singing with a style bass like, more or less like Jackie Wilson. And so I guess, when he was just trying to find his way, and that's what he
could,
was doing.
Could be some of the early stuff. He was originally on Checkmate, and then he did a couple things on Anna. But if you think of it, let me know what it is. I'm curious.
Yeah, okay. Well, I got the CD around here, buried somewhere around in the house somewhere.
Yeah, all right.
But I'll have to look through it. Okay, well, thanks a lot.
Thanks for calling. I appreciate it. And and William ended the night, so Mike and Mike Pleasant, you got to call me tomorrow night. I hope you will. I'm sorry we didn't get there, but we will tomorrow night. And we're on after the game. I'm not sure what time, but we'll figure it out then. So, I don't know, about 22 hours from now, maybe? Until then, we thank Adam for keeping us on the air, John for screening your calls, you especially for calling. It makes it so easy to do. I appreciate that. Good to talk to you. Talk to you tomorrow night. Until then, that's a wrap. I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.